What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Craig Hunter, the Deputy Principal from Rehoboth Christian College, is with me. So all the report's done. What do teachers do now, Craig? Sit back, have a coffee and cake for the next 5 days and have morning teas?
A lot of teachers.
Is that what goes on?
Exactly.
Come on.
I know some teachers that basically sleep for about 3 days.
Having a rest.
That's it. And just switching off. You just get, you don't realise how mentally and emotionally exhausted because you're giving out each day and you're often working late into the night.
True.
On the weekends, trying to get everything finished. And then you just collapse. Into a heap of, like, I need a break.
Need rest.
And so, I mean, parents are grateful. And if I can just encourage you, just as it be a card, to say, hey, thank you for teaching my kids and just encourage them. Because teachers do get a bad rap at times, but they work hard. Every teacher I know works incredibly hard and loves the kids that they teach. So let's honour them. But also, we honour everyone who works. Everyone works hard. But teachers do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff we don't often see.
I've seen that. My daughter-in-law is a primary school teacher. Not at the moment. She's looking after her daughter. But, amazing. The work. So I've seen it firsthand. I always give her a hard time saying, teachers have got it easy.
Good to stir the pot.
I love stirring the pot. But I have actually seen firsthand how much they do. Now, heading into the holidays, what are your thoughts? Oh, thank you, producer Beck, for delivering a coffee to Craig. Thank you.
Thank you, Beck.
That's a bucket. It is.
You know, when I went to New Zealand and they had these. They did literally have a bucket of coffee in New Zealand. Any Kiwis out there? Have you seen them?
Oh yes. Is it a bowl?
It's like a bowl of coffee.
And do you put your hand? There's no hand
on the side, and you go like that.
Yes.
And I've never seen anything like it.
I've had one. I went to a place years ago up in. I think it was up in Kalamunda. This coffee shop up in Kalamunda. I couldn't believe it. It was literally a bowl. It was pretty bit weird drinking it.
It was.
I'll tell you what, it tasted good.
And I reckon you'd be wired for the next 3 days. Talk about teachers having a rest.
Exactly.
So
where were we?
We were talking about holidays and the challenge of, you know, more and more with parents both working through the holidays, it is tough. And all I can encourage parents is to be intentional. And I think one of the things that breaks my heart sometimes is when kids come back to school at the end of January and I say, how was your holidays? And they said, I basically play computer games or didn't get out because my parents were working. I can encourage parents who are busy, and it is real in this day and age, is be intentional. If I can really encourage you, be intentional. It could be a day trip, an overnight stay. It could be some shared play dates. But, you know, that kids value the time that we can spend with them. It's not just about here's a really massive Lego present or here's a massive experience. Just time with parents. Yeah. Get outside. Do something, even if they're like, oh, I want to finish my Minecraft level.
Yeah.
Get them outside, spend some time with them, and then evoke that curiosity. It's really important for kids to be curious and to be creative. And often that happens by getting them outside and doing some stuff. So if I can say one thing to have a happy holidays, is plan ahead, plan some specific things you can do with them that they love. I mean, there are some great camps out there, Scripture Union and church stuff, but what are the interests? So it could be music, museums, dancing, going to the beach. But whatever it is, find something they like doing and do it with them. Not just what we like doing, but something that they like doing. Turn the social media off and be present with your kids. And it's such a powerful thing to do for our kids. If I can encourage parents to make that time, don't feel guilty, but do what you can.
And a lot of those things don't cost any money or very little, even like just the simple thing of going to the beach.
That's it. You know what I mean? And kids are grateful for it. They can't always verbalize that.
It's time.
But they love that time. And so no job is worth it to lose our kids. That little window we've got, no job is worth saying. And I've been guilty of that. I mean, one of my things that I've done wrong is I think one, I was so determined for my kids to do well, I gave them all these worksheets. I thought if I give them lots of worksheets on the holidays and do some cramming stuff, that'll be good for their learning.
Yeah.
And that didn't go so well.
Did you get any back?
I did, but it's a bit of that teacher in me, and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing. I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to help my kids learn in the holidays. I'll give them some tasks, and by about day two, it was kind of all over.
That's it. So you didn't do that again?
No.
No.
Okay. I learned that lesson.
But you learnt, right?
That's it.
Craig, we'll take a break. We'll come back after Queen. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Craig Hunter's with me from Rehoboth Christian College, and we've our last chat for this year. Craig, appreciate you coming in. What are you going to share with us as your last bit of gold today as we head into holidays?
Oh, it's very exciting. It's challenging though. Let's be honest. It's not always easy to pivot towards having kids at school in routine and all of a sudden no routine and having kids. And I chat to parents, including myself. It's not easy. And I think one of the biggest challenges that every parent faces is technology. And just the addiction of the games, the Minecraft, the social media. And we've got to do what we can to say, hey, some of these things are good. Yeah. In moderation, it's fine. But we need to get them outside. We need to get them to be curious. And one of the challenges with these algorithms is that they get in a routine and they watch this stuff and that's not real. Yeah. But actually discovering, learning, being outside is evoking curiosity in a park, in a museum. It's challenging. You know, a board game. Playing a board game together or getting them to play board games.
People still do that?
They do, apparently.
Are they making a bit of
a comeback? You know, the other big comeback is jigsaw puzzles.
Really?
Yeah, you just set one of those up in the lounge room or on a desk and let them potter with that.
Do you like the really big ones? Do you like the massive ones that take, you know, like weeks to do?
Oh, but the sky, let's be honest. The sky. I think they should ban sky in jigs. The ocean, and that should be banned in jigsaw puzzles. Like the ones that have got
more
like...
challenging, though.
Oh, yeah, but it feels like you're just spending ages just putting every single piece in to work out what the one is. So that's helpful, but the other thing is craft, is setting up forts where you get the old... You know, towels and Nerf gun fights and that kind of stuff. So
good fun.
Don't be afraid that those to create a bit of mess. And as parents, we don't like mess because it means that we have to then often clean it up or get them to clean it up. But what it does is it gives our kids space to be creating and learning in a way that's fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, like make some, I know one year, Teresa, my wife, got some prints out and she made them make designs to give away to all of our family. You know, get some paint and draw some designs about their faith, about some scripture verses, and then give them away. So a little some little purpose with it, I think is very powerful.
So good, Craig. Do you like playing board games?
I do. Catan. Settlers of Catan is the big one.
Yes.
You play that one?
No. I'm more Scrabble. I like playing Scrabble.
I do like Scrabble. Scrabble with friends online is fun, but the one that should be banned is Monopoly. I reckon it is an evil game.
Don't play that.
Monopoly. After about 10 minutes, unless I'm in front, it's all over.
Or something simple like, do you remember that game called Trouble?
Yes, where you pop the
and
thing.
And you used to have, there was the little dice in the middle of the plastic dome and you click, click.
And every now and then the clicker would break and it'd be all over.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's kind of like up there with Snap. I think it's one above Snap, let's be honest.
Exactly. Get some games out over the holidays. Here's a good tip. Craig, we really do appreciate you coming in today and right throughout the year. We appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in and we look forward to catching up with you next year.
Can't wait.
Have a good Christmas.
You too, Mike.
My guest in the studio this morning has been Craig Hunter from Rehoboth Christian College. You are on 98.5, and this is Weekdays with Mike. Here's Beyonce. That was the Style Council. That takes us back to 1984, and you're the best thing, and you're the best thing. Good morning, Craig Hunter from Rehoboth Christian College.
Mike, you're the best thing.
Good to have you in. Nice to chat to you again. It feels like it's been a little while.
It has. It's been the pointy end with end-of-year work parties, reports, all the good stuff.
So end-of-year, what does that mean and look like in the school environment? Tell us.
It is. It's a number of things. It's obviously the deadlines of reports, and it's writing, it's collecting data, a few last-minute tests to make sure we've got the right kind of the right level for kids. It also means cleaning the classroom, last-minute kind of handovers to the next teacher for the next year. So quite a lot of things happening, and also some farewells and welcomes. So some teachers move on, some come in. So a few things going on, staffing issues, child, making sure that parents are informed. And I think one of the things, as we're talking briefly about reports, is this, that there should be no surprises. If you're
with a report?
No, there shouldn't be. Because if you're actually in connection with a teacher or year, really it should be a reflection of what they've already learned and that you're connecting with them over the year. So if you get the report and it's like, what?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Then I think the teacher and that relationship is probably not where it should be in terms of where we're at with education now, where it's an ongoing assessment, where parents are being informed and teachers are having that relationship and that connection with the parents and the kids. So the kids should know where they're at, parents and teacher. The report kind of like pulls it together.
So really, okay, that's interesting how you actually explain that. So really, it's a bit of formality. Is that final report, because as you're reading that final report, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I remember speaking about that 6 months ago or last term.
Yep, so there's areas you're working on. And I think if we do that, and a lot more now, a lot of assessment stuff is online, especially from about grade three upwards, and certainly going into high school where a lot more stuff is visible for students as well as for parents. Now, obviously, we know as they head into high school, kids are not good at telling their parents, but I think there's a lot better systems now in place to do that. I mean, gone are the days when it was like, you know, if you get an A, it's $20.
Was that
when you were at school, Mike? You made a lot of money when you were at school, didn't you?
No, I didn't make a lot of money because I didn't do that well.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was okay.
Yeah.
But I think the comments that used to sit alongside of my grade was probably the concern.
That was a bit to look at.
Doesn't pay attention, just wants to clown around, etc., etc.
And look at you now, you're a radio announcer. So there's hope for everyone, really, isn't there?
There is, absolutely, there is hope.
And you know, the other thing there's hope for is that. You know, I was teaching grade five a number of years ago. One of my students was like a C student, like just average, lovely kid doing their work. Mm. And, you know, as a parent, you're thinking, oh, look, they're not going to achieve much. They're not going to do very well. But actually, they went on to another school. They actually end up becoming ducks of a very large school. They got the top mark. And a part of it was because their attitude to learning and to doing the right thing and to being diligent. And I think sometimes we too quick to dismiss kids as being a C or an A or good or a bad. But if we see it as a journey, then when we sit with our kids with the reports, we can say, what's going on? Do you think this reflects you? How did you go? And then it becomes a journey with our kids of learning lifelong improvement rather than you're good or you're bad, you failed or you passed, which is often how our world views assessment, doesn't it?
So the attitude was the key.
The attitude is the key.
For that person going from not doing that well to ducks.
And you know, over many, many years, I've seen that a kid with a good attitude towards learning and towards receiving feedback always does better than the kid that's naturally bright but a bit cocky.
Well, there is my problem. After all these years, Craig, the light has gone off.
This has been worth it just for this moment.
Oh, you know what? I feel a whole lot better now. That explains everything. We'll take a break. We'll come back after this.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.